I'm going to talk about something about busyness. I think busyness is going to be one of the big problems we all face once school reopens. So the pace is fast, the tutorials to catch up, and I think it gets busier when you see your peers, they are doing well, moving forward, and coping well, and we are not, you see. So a lot of times we are receiving insinuation, we are being pressurized by something external, and then we struggle with things that's inside. But I want to stress here, don't make busyness your enemy, okay? Busyness is actually not your enemy. It's how you deal with busyness. And how do you get guided by the Holy Spirit in the midst of busyness? You see, the system you are in now is conditioning you to think a certain way. Right? The schedule to keep up to, or work to be done, and then you find yourself, after a while you're in a vicious cycle. The vicious cycle of getting very busy. Then at the end of the term, you find yourself busy for nothing sometimes. Okay? So, the thing is, we have to be guided by the Spirit. Now, a lot of Christians, even, they don't know how to be guided by the Spirit. They're just going to church on Sunday, and then in their tertiary life, they're just being led on. So some of my friends, in uni, I realized they just give up altogether because they don't want the stress. So, meaning they just let loose. It's a form of escapism, they try to escape and all. And for some others, they're just being dragged on by this schedule. And until then, I just finish my 3 years, 4 years, get my honors or get my degree and that's it. But after they graduate, they realize they are in for another kind of cycle in work. So you don't want to develop a kind of habit in you, which, you're always affected by circumstances, especially in the Singapore society. Everything is fast-paced. Even from the time, look at my kids in primary school, secondary school, and very quickly O-levels, or you're at SPM, right, something, and then after that, your JC life or whichever, and then your uni life. And all this system is there, right there, to tell you that you gotta chip out with it so that you can do well, But at the end of the day, you see people, they abide to the system, but the system failed them. So at the end of the day, they don't know what they want, they're directionless. So I don't want us to fall into that trap. We are the remnants of God. We are given the gospel. The world is driving you away from God. And especially the world conditioned you to think not in the gospel way. Okay, not in the gospel. The gospel gives life. The gospel gives strength. And the Spirit of God comes with the gospel to lead and guide you. So I want to help you, especially as school term starts. All this busyness is going to come. How do you deal with it? I said again, don't make busyness your enemy. You're going to receive more grace even during busy times. That's what I say, greater the trial, the greater the help of God. That's the promise of God. Alright? So, I want to read with all of you something very familiar, a story. I believe all of you have read before, Luke chapter 10. Alright? The story of Martha and Mary. Very popular story, okay? Luke chapter 10 verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She's very enthusiastic, very proactive. It's good to have Jesus come, But what now? So she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Now, the emphasis here, Mary is listening to what Jesus said, the living word, who gives a word of life. And the word of life gives strength, gives everything, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations. She was busy, okay. She was distracted by all preparation that had to be made. So she came to him. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me! An exclamation mark, you know. So, apparently, you know, you can see the frustration that Martha has. You know. Imagine, you know, you have a special guest at home, you know, and then someone approach, your sister approach your special guest and say, hey, you know, so special guest, look at my brother or my sister, did not help you. You feel so accusing, you know what I mean? So, what Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you know, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things to be worried in this world, right? But only one thing is needed. That one thing, if you get it right, everything will fall in place. That's what I said last week, remember that? Okay? Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, you see, this is a popular story. I presume some of you have read before. Martha is met with busyness. Obviously, she runs around, gets busy with preparations, and at the end, bursts out in frustration. I think a lot of times when we are busy, we can resonate with Martha, especially what's going on within her heart, you know. So, as what you see, Martha turns temperamental. She lashed out at her sister. But I think a lot of people got the emphasis of the story wrong. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, how do you read and apply this passage?
No.
I'll tell you how people get this passage wrong.
Okay.
Number one, the passage is not talking about, hey, do not be task-oriented. Be heart-oriented. Now, a lot of people read this passage and say, no, don't be task-oriented, you know. And it's not about the task, it's about the heart, you know. And don't be so busy, you know, this and that, you know. Now, if I could apply it like that, am I going to say, okay, don't worry, you know, just go back and listen to Pastor Vincent's message day and night. Don't worry about tutorial, it's not about this, you know. Don't worry about the task, don't worry about going lessons. Cannot be, right? The task need to be done. In school, at home, whichever, you know, there are responsibility given you. There are to-do lists every day, you know. So, I think, okay, let's not understand this in a very simplistic way, you know. Not task, but the heart, you know. Now, I have a lot of Christian who thinks like that, you know. And then, the second misunderstanding is, there are some people who think, Martha and Mary has different personality. Now, do you read anything about personality here? No. Some, you know, nowadays in the research, people talk about this, or this personality test, you know, what, EIS, you know, Martha must be someone very high D, you know. Have you read that? you heard about the EIS, you know, high D, very dominant, you know, domineering, and, Melvin is high I, you know, very intellectual, likes to listen and talk, you know. So she received more grace, she sat at Jesus' side, you know. No, people like to, because it sounds relevant. Now, I want to bring all of you away from all this kind of, I call mixed teachings about the gospel, that dilute the gospel. You know? Actually, if you were to read this in terms of personality, you know, like say, oh, Martha is more, she's more direct, Mary, she's more mild, and all, then are you trying to say that people who are mild receive more grace? People more rough personality, they don't receive grace. Cannot be, right? I have people in my church that are short fuse, no? And they receive grace. So, I got short fuse, but very impetuous, very teaching, no? All this, no, but I will say the grace of God applies to all, you know? Peter is very impetuous, no? Very impatient. But he was the disciple that received the most grace before Jesus. So I don't want us to discount the grace of God in that sense. That over here it says nothing about personality. Alright? So don't give it the wrong explanation, you know. And when I say don't give it the wrong explanation, meaning sometimes when you come across people with undesirable personality, don't be too quick to judge them and say this fella cannot receive grace. No. No, no such things. Okay? It's man, the grace of God come upon you. Alright? And the third misunderstanding, okay, well, people always will give it this kind of explanation. Okay, over here it says, Mary has chosen what is better. So, many people will explain the verse as, well, Mary, make a good choice. In life is about making a good choice. Following God is making a good choice now. So it seems that Mary is a better Christian. She is more merited because of a good choice she made. Now it seems so. You know, a lot of things in this world, we talk about choice. Right? You see the Hollywood movie, you know, everyone talks about choice. You know, make a good choice, be responsible, and all. But let me ask you, have you met people in your life that they are always making the right choice, not because they see the value of it, but because they are accommodating? Have you? How many grew up in church? You didn't grow up in church, right? Have you seen people who go to church, not because they love the word, but because their parents go? Or because my parents said, I must go, so I have to go. But there is no personal relationship being developed with God. So till a time, you know, when you're doing things because you just want to go by the mainstream expectation, you know, people expect this of me. So come to a point, you will not last. Right? You will not last. And then come to a point and say, why am I doing this? I'm unhappy. And then you just let go everything one day. So choice is an outward expression. Of course, it's very important, you know, when we follow God, you know, we choose right, we choose His way, am I right? But before you make that right choice, I want to ask, what have you seen? You know, do you see the value of the gospel, the value of the word, the value of gathering like that? You know, it's this value first that you have seen and you treasure it. And that's why you sit right here, 7:30, and it doesn't matter, you know, we are coming together for this session. So, what did I just say? Now, recap. It's not about what? It's not about being task-oriented. We always have tasks to fulfill. It's about how you fulfill that task, right? Number two, it's not about personality, right? It can be of any kind of personality. Number three, it's not just about making a good choice. So where does the verse point us to? What is the emphasis of this verse? Now you go to verse 42 again. Now what did Jesus say? But only one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better. Now, but before she chose, Jesus showed. What is that one thing? That one thing that is necessary versus every other thing. Every other thing. Now this whole story is about what is truly necessary. And Mary was given the grace to see. What is the thing that when you have it, and you know you have it all. And Mary saw it, her heart was drawn to it. It's not her personality, not whether she's heart-oriented or task-oriented, or not a wise choice she made. It's that she's given the grace to see what is truly necessary. So what is that one thing that's necessary? Anyone? Anyone? Jesus didn't say, you know. He just implied. You know, Mary has chosen that one thing. There's only one thing that's necessary. Where do you find it from the verse? What was Mary doing? You look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. What is that one thing? And that is the Word of God. The Word of God that gives life and strength. The Word of God that strengthens our faith so that we will not be stressed out with schoolwork, not stressed out with grades, not stressed out about what others is doing. Why? Because of the Word of God. That Word. Mary saw the glory in the Word. The value of the Word. That's why she sat down to listen. Now, you know, when I was in uni, I know I cannot handle stress. Last week I shared, right, you know, I feel so out of place sometimes in uni. I know I cannot handle loneliness. I know, you know, I cannot face the pressure of not doing as well as my peers. It's hard to bear, but sometimes it's the reality. But the struggle is the inside thing, as what I said. The stress, the busyness is actually the infighting is the inside thing. And because of that, I realized I need the word. You see? Busyness, stress, is a reality. But if you let draw you away from God, you are going another direction. But you say, God, then why do you allow busyness and stress? So that you will be drawn to the world. You get what I mean? You'll be drawn. So, there is a purpose that God allows trials, stress, pressure. So that you know you cannot handle it. Now, the person who says, I can handle it, I don't need God, you know. I can handle it, I can do it well, you know. I can do better than my peers, I'm good in planning, you know. Well, that person will not see the worth of coming for meetings. But when you acknowledge that I couldn't handle it, and that's why I need this session, I need to gather, I need to be brought back to the right perspective, great, alright? So, that's what Martha is doing, you know. It's not as if she stopped doing the task, no, she has to have the will to fight with all the preparations and planning. Now, so if you're a student now, you say, you know, I have a lot of preparations, I must finish this topic, I must get this concept clear before I go for my next lecture. But mind you, you know, once you are out of schedule, once things doesn't go the way you intended, stress starts coming in. Then you get into overdrive in your heart and mind. And you will not do well in that sense, okay? Let me just say that, okay? You will not do well. You need that word. You know you cannot handle. And it's not by your will you can do. You need inputs. You need something heavenly. Something supernatural. That once you've understood it, the capacity of your mind will enlarge. Then your heart will be ready to learn all kinds of knowledge. And God put you here, and not to stress you out. God put you here to experience new things, to enjoy learning, and even to testify His goodness to your friends, you know. But you need the Word of God. So number one, that's one thing, the Word. And what does the Word bring? Anyone? Every time I talk about the Word, what does the Word bring? You want 5 or 10? The Word brings life. The Word always goes together with what? Yes, Spirit. You know? The Word always, Spirit is infinite. The Spirit of God works mightily, infinitely. So that's why every time when Jesus talks about the Spirit, He talks about the Spirit of truth. Am I right? And He will guide you in all things. So now, what I'm going to say now, once you have the Word, number one, the Word, right? It's everything. And once you have heard it, understood it, believe it, the next thing you will get is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying here is, I'm not talking about putting all your responsibility, your tasks aside, you know, don't do your homeworks and all that. No. You think about it, you know, we all have a to-do list. Now, my wife cannot say, you know, today I'm tired, now I don't want to make breakfast for my kids, and I don't want to do anything, I just lie on the bed. Right? Cannot. Can you do it? I mean, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything, you know. You can do it, you know that is a to-do list. So, how to do, the question is, how to do? Okay? The thing is, you must be guided by the Spirit. You must be guided. Well, some people say, you know, no, Pastor, my problem is not tutorial. I have to check my handphone every day. I have to check Instagram every day, you know, whichever, you know, I need to relax and all, you know. Fine. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to have meaning in life also, but be guided by the Spirit. You know? You see, I have known people who are very good planner, you know. And usually if you can make it to the UNA, you are a good planner, you know, you plan ahead and all, you know. But if you are a planner, so good, plan until where God cannot intervene in your life. You're going to be trapped by your plan. You're going to be trapped. And I have in my life a lot of times when I plan, but God say, what do you have planned for today? I want you to do it tomorrow. Can you do it? No. What do you have intended to do today? What do you have intended to finish studying today? I want it tomorrow. Sometimes my God lead you to some people that you have to talk to them. Or sometimes, you know, God make you rest. You know, I had a high fever like 2 weeks ago. You know, I have so many commitments and speaking engagement. I have to rest. You know, one day or 2 days, then I have to trust the Lord by faith, you know, wherever it is. And then somehow finish everything. You get what I mean? So, when I was in my uni, you know, when I learned to trust the Lord's guidance, you know, I always have pockets of time to finish, you know, those things I haven't finished. Or sometimes, you know, when I learn to trust and wait upon the Lord, I'll meet people who help me in my homework, whichever, you know. Or then I will get to meet some people, you know, who I can talk to. I meet new friends, good people. And then, or sometimes I resonate with people who are under stress also. You see, if you have planned everything so well, you have no stress in your life, everything in control, you will not understand people who are stressful. And many of your friends could be like that. When you went through that kind of pressure, that intensity, and then you can understand this. That's how you testify the Lord, you know. And then, okay, so the Word and the Spirit, okay, glory of the Word, the joy of being guided by the Spirit, the last thing. I'm going to tell. When what did the Lord say? Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to bring home this. It will not be taken away from you. If you've got the Word and is led by the Spirit and live in the joy and satisfaction of it, it will not be taken away from you. Time will be taken away from you. Friends will be taken away from you. Energy will be taken away from you when you're tired and exhausted. And for uni students, you know, we taught, you know, we graduate, you know, go out, job market, you know, what if the job market doesn't do as well? And then the job taken away from you. No, it's distressing, you know, when you think about all these things, you know, especially when the world is changing. You know. But the joy of being edified in your spirit, experiencing the help of the Holy Spirit, and always, you know, hearing the Word of God and was encouraged together, will not be taken away from you. It will become the fundamentals of your faith. Next time, whether you walk to work or you have families, you know, the same problems will come, same kind of stress will come, but you will be able to handle it because you have received something spiritual from God, something heavenly. So in conclusion, okay, at the end, you know, and our school term starts, we may have our ideas, but recognize what is truly necessary, right? The Word of God, being strengthened by His love, being guided by Him, you know, even as we plan, you know, we entrust everything to the Lord. And then the joy and fruitfulness you experience in campus life will not be taken away from you, you know. Now, this is how you can be witness for the Lord. I always tell students one thing, you know, don't be a typical student. If you know every student will fail in this area. Everyone, you think about it, you know, when God look at this whole campus, when everyone is studying for just that one reason, for their future, God is definitely looking out for someone different. When everyone is just being stressed out, but God is looking for one who follow His guidance. You get what I mean? When everyone is just being carried away with the buzz and the hype, you know, just want to have fun in school, God is looking out for someone who value the Word. Right, and that person will be the one God is looking out for, and that person will be the one God is going to use to magnify His glory, okay?